for not fulfilling their duty to the people. And we were able to glean from that that we are priests and God wants us to be good priests, good intercessors on behalf of others, especially when it comes to praying one for another and sharing the word of God with the lost. But he finishes this chapter here in with another one of their strange sayings, if you will. You're going to see a lot of these in Malachi. And yet you're going to also notice that a lot of them are things that people are even saying today. And it's primarily wishy-washy, backslidden, or people that claim to be Christians but aren't. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, chapter 1, verse 13, it said, "You also said, behold, what a weariness is it?" They're talking here about worshiping the Lord according to his ways. And they're saying, it's a weariness. We're tired of it. Well, how many Christians have said, it's a weariness to read my Bible every day. It's a weariness to pray every day. It's a weariness to be faithful to church. So very similar. And then here in chapter 2 now, we saw him rebuking the priests down through verse 9. But in verse 10, it says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" And so another irrational, non-biblical statement, and that is, have we not all one Father? In other words, by virtue of being created by God, does not that make him our Father? Wasn't it amazing that now, 2,500 years later, how many people believe this very truth? That by virtue, they believe that there's a creator, yes. But they say, well, by virtue of the fact that he made me, that makes me his child. And then, have you ever noticed everybody goes to heaven? When you go to a funeral, have you ever heard anybody not going to heaven? And so it's this universalism. And it permeates a lot of religions today. The only problem is it's not true. So we're going to focus on this saying here in verse 10 in Malachi and make sure we understand what the Bible teaches relative to who has God of the universe as their Father. And so that's our title, is One Father. So let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would use your word to teach us tonight. And to grow us, Lord, may we get a hold of this truth and may it motivate us to tell others the great news that they can also become a child of God. So, Lord, we give you this service. May you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So they say there in verse 10, have we not all one Father? This is Israel speaking, backslidden Israel. And hath not one God created us? In other words, by virtue of the fact that God made us, does that not make us his children? Well, Jesus answered this very clearly for us in John 8. So let's turn over there. Because when Jesus came on the scene, 400 years after this was spoken by Israel, the Pharisees still believed it and taught it, that by virtue of being God's creation, and especially by virtue of their heritage, that God was their Father. And so Jesus corrected that here in John 8, verse 36. Or actually, let's start at verse 38. Jesus said, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." And they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." So there's almost the exact same statement. And by the way, a little subtle accusation implying that Jesus is illegitimate. Can you imagine accusing Jesus Christ of being an illegitimate child? Jesus said unto them, verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And by the time we get to the end of the chapter, they take up stones to kill him for claiming to be the great I Am of the Old Testament. So, their claim is, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God made us? Well, yes, God made all of us, but that does not make him our Father. And a lot of the world actually believes this as well, don't they? Well, God made me, therefore I'm his child. But we all know that Jesus made it very clear, go to John chapter 1, verse 12, that if you want to be God's child, first you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will adopt you into his family and make you his child. Notice John 1, 12. But as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we do not become children of God by virtue of our birth. We only become children of God by virtue of our second birth. Amen? Let's look at another one, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Notice, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, we become children of God. While you're in Galatians, look at chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So notice, God adopts us into his family, and then we become his child, and then we have the privilege of referring to God as our Father. So their assertion is incorrect, as you will see many times in the book of Malachi. But it's fascinating how many of these assertions are still floating around 2,500 years later. What a weariness is it? And have we not all one Father? So let's go back to that passage in Malachi 3. And he's talking here about his offspring versus not his offspring, if you will. Verse 10. Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? What are they saying? That children of God don't treat children of God the way we're treating people. The offspring of a holy God, in other words, don't behave this way. And Jesus told us this many times, but let's look at a couple of examples. Well, actually, first let's be reminded about those of us that are people that are unsaved. By nature, they are wicked. They're born that way. We're all born that way. And Jesus talked about that. Let's look at an example in Mark chapter 7. We could look at many examples. Never in the New Testament does God ever make the assertion that men are basically good. And yet, how many times does the world say this? Well, everybody's basically good. And then we just make some mistakes along the way. Guess what? The Bible says we're basically bad. Amen? We're basically wicked. Never does it say we're basically inherently good. Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Don't see any goodness there. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 29. We'll see another example. and there are plenty. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Don't see any goodness there. Galatians 5:19, we'll see another one. And what these people are trying to imply is, well, by virtue of the fact that God made us, that makes us children of God. And by virtue of the fact that we're children of God, therefore we're inherently good and treat each other good. Which is what the world mostly believes, isn't it? I'm a pretty good person. If you ask most people, that's what they're going to say. I'm a pretty good person. I've never killed anybody. I'm pretty good to my neighbor. I do my best to just be a good person. Right? We hear that all the time. The problem with that is we aren't good people. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Say, well, then how come we inherit the kingdom of God? Because when we get saved, all of these things are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and we are justified. But anybody who's ever committed any of these sins can't go to heaven unless the sin gets dealt with. So no, we're not inherently good. And no, we're not inherently children of God. Revelation chapter 21, one more. Great verse, Revelation 21:8, to use when witnessing to the lost. I can't even count how many times I've been allowed of God to use it. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. And then I always pause where it says, and all liars. And I always ask the person that I'm witnessing to, have you ever once in your entire life told a lie? I've only had one person in my whole life say no. What do you do? I was speechless. Somebody actually believed that they had never told a lie. Anyway, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, even if all you've ever done is lie, you're still going to hell. So, no, we are not God's offspring, and we are inherently bad, not inherently good. And therefore, the only solution to this entire dilemma, of which the world does not understand and oftentimes does not want to understand, is that the only way that we can supernaturally change is to change who we are the offspring of. Amen? We are the offspring of Adam until we get saved, and then that we're offspring of the second Adam, as we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that's why when Jesus came on the scene, he said, repent, and you must be born again. The Pharisees were thinking, well, how is that even possible? God made us. We are Jews. We're going to heaven. And Jesus said, actually, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell, and your father's the devil. And so they nailed him to a cross. So John chapter 1, let's just remind ourselves here, John chapter 1, verse 12, that the only solution to this dilemma that the world finds itself in, and that is that they are not inherently the children of God, and they are not inherently good, therefore, is some supernatural intervention. It's called salvation. Amen? John 1, 12. But as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So only those that are born of God, as we read in this verse, are the sons of God. Not by virtue of creation, but by virtue of a new birth. And then John 3:3, most of us know it by heart. Jesus in his discourse with Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So they made this very untrue statement, have we not all one Father? And why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? In other words, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're not. Implying that every person that's ever been born is a brother because we have the same Father because he made us all. None of that's true. If you're unsaved, you're a child of the devil, and you're going to act like a child of the devil, and you're going to go to hell unless you change who your Father is. Amen? So notice, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We'll look at it one more time here. And so the whole false statement has to be undone, unraveled, and corrected with God's word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, we've talked about this when we went through 1 John. There's some interesting statements in 1 John because he bounces back and forth between, as we talked about this, the experiential and the doctrinal. So this statement, has anyone in this room committed a sin since they were born again? Then what do we do with this statement? This is a doctrinal statement. When the day you were born again, every sin you ever committed was wiped away. Amen? Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. All my sins are in the bottom of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. Amen? They're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the reason why when we stand before God, that he will see no sin. That it will be as if we never committed sin. Not because we didn't commit sin, but because God in his mercy wiped it away with the blood of Jesus Christ. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. Isn't that beautiful? Because he's been born of God who is holy. And so the day that we were born again, we were born of God, and we received a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn there quickly if you would. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. What God is saying is we have the capacity to live a life of holiness. Now we often don't avail ourselves of that capacity, which is through God's word, through the Holy Spirit. But it's available. We have the divine nature in us now, in the person of the Holy Ghost. And he's there ready to help us to live for God. But when it comes to the final accounting, there will be no sin on our account. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Colossians 2:13, turn there quickly. It tells us how many of our sins were forgiven. Hallelujah. Never forget this great truth. It says in Colossians 2:13, you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together, that word means given life, with him, having forgiven you, what? All trespasses. This is hard for an unsaved person to comprehend, isn't it? If you tell them, if you are born again, that means all your trespasses, even the ones you haven't committed yet, think about that. They're already forgiven. Because all of our sins were placed on Jesus Christ. And so their entire assertion here was false. And yet, 2,500 years later, most of the world still believes, I'm probably going to go to heaven because I'm basically a good person. God made me. God loves me. God is good. Therefore, he would not send anybody to hell. And I'm basically a pretty good person. Most people believe that. And that's what the devil wants them to believe, isn't it? Because that belief will take them to hell when they die. And so they said, "Have we not all one Father?" No, we don't. Some people have a different father. His name is Satan. And then they said, "Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother?" In other words, since we're all the offspring of a holy, righteous, and good God, surely we all behave in a basically good way. Also, not true. We all basically are wicked and behave like wicked sinners who are offspring of the devil. And therefore, the only solution is we have to change who we are the offspring of. Amen? Not the devil, but God. And that is something that only God can do. It's supernatural. That's why it's called being born again. Aren't you thankful you're born again? Amen? And that, as John said, there's no sin on our account because we are born of God. When we were a child of the devil. So have we not all one Father, they said? The answer is no. Another false statement. First, what a weariness is it? How boring is it? How tiring is it to serve God? How dare us say anything like that? And now for them to say, "We're all God's children. Let's just all be happy and sing kumbaya, and we'll all go to heaven together." That's what the devil wants people to believe. But praise God, we have his word. And if you're born again, you have a new father, the Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for being our Father, for giving us eternal life, but also adopting us into your family. We cannot thank you enough, Lord, for giving us the power to become the sons of God and making us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And giving us that divine nature that we might serve you and live a holy life. And Lord, may we avail ourselves of that nature and please you with our service and our faithfulness. And tell others the good news that they can become part of a new family if they will but believe and trust the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior. We love you and we thank you for speaking to our hearts through your precious word in Jesus.